mechanism has attracted interest from countries such as Tajikistan, Cuba, Luxembourg, and Sudan. Anshul Saxena, a political analyst, says Sri Lanka is set to use Indian rupee for international trade, and the country's apex bank is waiting for Indian central bank's approval to designate rupee as Sri Lanka's foreign currency. Michael Ashura, a geopolitical commentator, points to the trend of de-dollarization in international transactions as Sri Lanka is already using the rupee while other countries are in talks about rupee mechanism.
And that was our episode about the Indian and Pakistani foreign ministers trading barbs at the UN and India's rupee trade mechanism, eliciting interest from many countries. Now, we shall meet again, same time, same day, next week. So till then, take great care.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. This is Viewpoints. I'm Atta, the host of this program. Within the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Brother Muhammad and Sheikh Rouhani. Sheikh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum, welcome to you, Sheikh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And Brother Muhammad, assalamu alaikum to you.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Okay, we express our condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Lady Fatima al-Zahra, the princess of the ladies of both worlds. This is the wording of Prophet Muhammad about Lady Fatima al-Zahra. When we take a look at the short life, about 18, sometimes to 20 years old, of the life of Lady Fatima al-Zahra, we could see that this short life had so many lessons for all the people. Even after so many years, 14 centuries has passed, but still Lady Fatima al-Zahra is a role model, not only for Muslims, but the non-Muslims. And it's really interesting to know that the name Fatima, the girl named Fatima, is the most frequent female name selected from among, we can say, selected from among the Islamic terminology for all the people. From Cordoba to Spain to, France, new converts who convert to the religion of Islam. Well, one of the three important priorities, choosing and selecting for the girl's name or changing their names from a Christian one to the Islamic one is Fatima. And this shows the significance of this character, in Islam. Today we want to talk about the priorities of Hazrat Fatima's life. How he acted in life and what were her most important selections in life regarding lifestyle, ethics, religion, politics, social justice, and so on. That's all right. So when we take a look at her life, we could see that, for example, She was after social justice. She was, we can say, after reviving the prophetic sunnah, something which was missed, unfortunately. And in her short life, after the demise of Prophet Muhammad, she tried to commemorate the best of the behaviors of Prophet Muhammad in the life. So can you give us some examples about such behaviors of Lady Fatima al-Zahra?
You know, as I talked about Lady Zahra in the previous part, that, of course, her childhood, her youth, being as a wife, being as a daughter,
yes,
being as a mother, in all these areas, she was an exemplary figure in the history. But when it comes to the social and political and moral aspect of her life, that's also interesting.
Yes.
To see that Lady Zahra, salamullahi alayha. But before mentioning this point, I want to mention this preliminary point here that, you know, after the demise of the Holy Prophet, it's obvious, it's very much clear that we have at least two different understandings and readings of Islam. And no one doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
One was the reading of Ahl al-Bayt, yes, the household of the Holy Prophet.
Yes.
And the other reading was opposed to this, opposed and against this reading.
Okay.
That becomes like Amawite readings of Islam.
Mm-hmm.
So this is very much clear.
It's fair to say the king-like look.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Abbasid, you know, and the Amawis. Yeah.
Because
kings,
after the third caliph of Osman, this kind of idea or school of Islam was established by Muawiyah and Yazid and the other Amawid kings and Salatin.
Yes.
So it was an understanding of Islam. It was a reading of Islam that's very much clear in the history of Islam. Nowadays, no one can doubt about it. But the problem is that what happened to the Islam by this reading?
Yes.
By this, we can say misconception and misunderstanding of Islam.
Mm-hmm.
What they did in the history of Islam, for example, look at the event of the incident of Medina,
mm-hmm,
when Yazid's army attacked Medina. What did they do with the Medina people?
Yes.
The Medinian people.
Yes.
Raping, invading, usurying, and everything they did in Medina was opposed to the very clear principles of Islam.
He attacked Kaaba, man.
Yeah, burned Mecca.
Yeah.
Burned Mecca, the army of Yazid. And then look at the incident of Karbala.
Yes.
When Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, in his khutbah, in his sermon in Mecca, there was a sermon, a well-known sermon of Imam Hussein in Mina, I think.
Yes.
In that sermon, he called upon all the scholars,
mm-hmm,
the people, the Muslims, that, okay, help me and support me. What's going to happen to Islam is very much horrible and horrifying and dangerous. I am now warning you and informing you of what will happen.
Yes.
But no one supported him.
Mm-hmm.
You see, later what happened is this, that we had Tawabin, we had Mukhtar Thaqafi, we had many other people. Later, after the Shahada of Imam Hussein, they understood that, okay, Imam Hussein was right.
Sorry, Shaykh.
This is the problem. Okay?
What you're trying to say is that Lady Fatima al-Zahra could predict all these events in the future.
What I want to say, isn't it? What I want to say is this.
So that's why she tried to oppose such behaviors at the time of her life.
Yeah.
Okay, very good.
This is the point that I want to mention.
Okay.
That
all
why
these deviations.
Yeah, yeah,
this,
why okay. Lady Zahra came out of the house?
Uh-huh.
Why she went to the mosque?
Yes.
Why she referred to the companions of the Holy Prophet?
Okay.
Because she had a specific kind of knowledge.
Yes.
That kind of knowledge was bestowed upon her,
mm-hmm,
by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Prophet. And even in some of the narrations, it says that even Jibreel,
mm-hmm,
was coming to the Lady Zahra. So though she was not a prophet, but she were informed of many things.
Yes.
She knew, because we have Sahifa of Fatima salamullahi alayha.
Yes, yes.
In the hands of the A'imma alayhim
salatu
wasalam. We are 100% sure that Lady Zahra knew what is going to happen to the Islam.
Yes.
That's why when it comes to the political and social and moral, let's say, aspect of life of Lady Zahra salamullahi alayha, we should see these kind of signs, clear signs,
mm-hmm,
that even a woman, a lady, a Muslim lady, has this responsibility to support, to protect the Imam of time.
Yes.
Then the question is that who was the Imam of Lady Zahra
sallallahu
alayha? Yeah.
Yes.
It was Amirul Mu'minin.
Yes,
and that's why she supported. She tried her best to support.
Yes.
So if the people do not agree, sometimes the people might not follow. So that goes to the people.
Mm-hmm.
But the Imam and the Imam of the Ummah, and let's say the ladies like Zahra sallallahu alayha, they did their responsibility. They fulfilled their responsibilities. And they tried to inform the people. They tried to warn the people of what happened. So if the people do not want, yeah, that's the people. But the point is that the imam...
They could see the consequences, you know, of such behaviors.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
You know,
Sometimes people ask this question that, okay, why did not people follow Amir al-Mu'minin? Mm-hmm. Why did not people follow Lady Zahra? Yes. Why did they follow such and such figures, yeah?
Such and such caliph.
Such and such people, yeah. It goes to the people. The people do something, many times they do something wrong. But the point is that what did Lady Zahra do? What did Amir al-Mu'minin do? What did, for example, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein do?
Yes.
They fulfill their responsibilities.
I think it's also important to understand the history, dear Sheikh, that at that time when the incident of the door happened, at that time when the caliphate was kind of usurped from the hands of the Ahlul Bayt and then given to people who are not necessarily deserving, you see the Prophet, while he was in his deathbed, he commanded everyone to leave Medina to go with Usama for the battle against the Rome, right?
Yes.
And then only everybody left, all the ones who were Mu'mins, all the ones who followed the Prophet, they left Medina, except those who predicted that there is something going to happen in Medina. And they wanted to take hold of that something, essentially. So that's why the cream of the people, the Ashab that were very important, they went, right?
Yes.
And then even those who pretended to go, they stayed out, they camped outside of Medina just to wait and see what's going to happen in Medina.
Yes.
So as soon as the Prophet died, they came in quickly and then started this big, incident of that we call the incident of Thaqifa and so on and so on. And when this happened, it was by the time the Osama's army came back to Medina, the damage was already done. And it was nothing much the army can do to take back. And unfortunately, the commanders themselves, they kind of went into this, vibe of where the Medina was heading towards, was towards Sultanate. And one other important point I would like to mention, our Sheikh, Sheikh Rouhani, he mentioned it very beautifully, this Islamic, this Hashimi Islam versus this Ahlul Bayt Islam versus the Umayyad Islam. At the time of, if you look at the caliphates, like for example Muawiyah, what he would do, he would spend so much of the Islamic treasury in beautifying his big palace.
Green palace.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the reason and the excuse he would use, and he would write to the caliphate.
Khazra is called Khazra in Damascus.
Yeah.
Yes.
And when the caliph would inquire about this, why is all this treasury money going towards beautifying your palace? He'd respond and say, he would, kind of make an excuse, say, well, we're kind of bordering the Romans. We have to make sure that we are, better than them. Right?
Because he was affected by the Romans and the Persians, when they were attacking the Persian and the Roman empires, and that time they could see that how, we can't say they attacked the other lands. Even unfortunately, the mass killing of the other people, what Yazid did to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, militarily speaking, was under the effects of the Roman Empire.
Exactly. Mm.
That's why you could see the tortures are very much like what the Romans did to Prophet Jesus Christ, You could see the exact traces and the comparisons made between them. These were all away and away and away. From true Islam and getting back to the Jahiliyyah period, something that was in the eyes and the mind of Lady Fatima al-Zahra.
Yeah, of course,
she witnessed all these cases.
Yeah, we know that the grandfather of Yazid was Abu Sufyan.
Yes,
Abu Sufyan was a wealthy man.
Yes,
in Mecca.
Yes,
he had lots of wealth and thorough and camels. Yeah, and Muawiyah was brought up in such a family, in such a house.
Yes.
So you see what kind of mindset he had.
Yes.
And then Yazid also was brought up in Sham and Damascus, for example, in a very, let's say, luxury life.
Luxurious life, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's why, look at Lady Zahra, sallallahu alayhi. Prophet Muhammad was an orphan.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Amir al-Mu'minin, Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, his father was poor because it was Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who took care of Amir al-Mu'min when he was born.
Yes, yes.
You know?
And she was like father. This emphasizes the point that great leaders come from very struggling times.
Yeah, exactly.
Times.
Yes.
That's
exactly,
the only way.
That's the point. Yeah.
And further than that, we're talking about how this family, these two families had a very big grudge against each other. If you look at their palace, but look at the family of Lady Fatima.
Yeah.
Look at the life of Lady Fatima.
Life is
fine. Do you know of any girl of a kingdom family that has patches in her veil?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lady Fatima is very, very famous in history that Lady Fatima in his veil, her chador when she would wear, there were stitches and patches.
Stitches and patches, yes.
There is no daughter of a king you would find. They would normally have golden clothing. They would have jingling, glamorous way of walking and everything to emphasize that this is the daughter of that king.
And
but Lady Prophet Muhammad, when the person, when the emissary comes from Yemen, he asked, "Where is Muhammad?" He said, "That's the guy sitting between us." In the masjid, there was no palace, such a simple life. And then where is his daughter? Wearing that chador with a patch, with patches. But then, as soon as the Prophet dies and the government comes into the hand of undeserving people, you'd find this Islam, that the Prophet and the family of the Prophet, they struggle so much, especially Lady Fatima and her and their lifestyle, to develop this beautiful Islam, kind of slowly deteriorating in the hands of the undeserving people.
That's all right. چادر زهرا حکایت میکند از بی‌حجابی‌ها شکایت میکند. In fact, the wail of Hazrat Zahra, we can say, is narrating the story, and she's complaining about those who disrespect, we can say, hijab. روز محشر بر زنان با حجاب, on the day of judgment, Lady Fatima Zahra, Hazrat Zahra شفاعت میکند. Will intermediate for those girls, women with the covering and hijab.
Inshallah.
That's all right. We can say, of course, this hijab you're talking about is the modesty, is the, we can say, respect that she had, is the, we can say, that's all right, the honor
chastity.
That Lady Fatima told you, and the chastity that she was after, which is useful for both women and the men all around the world. Inshallah, we are the true follower of Lady Fatima al-Zahra, especially the women of the society and the world. Nowadays, you know, all across the world, the women are looking for their rights. I hope that they understood truly what the true rights of the women are, and the life lessons that they can take from the life of Lady Fatima al-Zahra can really be a nice example, paragon, and role model for all of them. I hope that our dear listeners will be invited to read more about the lifestyle of Lady Fatima al-Zahra, the daughter of Prophet Muhammad, inshallah. Thank you very much, Sheikh Rouhani, and Brother Muhammad, for a nice elaboration regarding Lady Fatima al-Zahra's selections and priorities in life. It was very kind of you. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints. For more information, visit our website, parstoday.com/en/call-of-islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah. Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, except Al-Habib. يقولها لنا يوم القيامة أمتي يقولها شفاعة أنا لها
Food for Thought.
Salam. And today, on the eve of the martyrdom anniversary of Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace upon her, the daughter of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, let us present you an excellent statement on social justice by this most noble lady. Completion of weights and measures is a cause for preventing the neglect of others' rights.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Startup in Tunisia breathes new life into old shoes as artists restore and even customize the footwear. The new business is called Kenenti and is located in the capital, Tunis. Here, the team uses fabrics, laces, and leather recovered from various factories for the repair work. The creative artists work on every detail during each project, even the soles of the shoes. The work aims to find solutions to shoe waste and reuse items instead of adding them to the world's landfills. Cherif Zeroui is the co-founder of Kenenti. He says the idea came to him 2 years ago when he discovered the number of shoes thrown away each year in Tunisia.
In France, there were 100 million pairs of shoes thrown away every year. This is a huge figure for us, and for the ecosystem and for the earth. In Tunisia, it's almost the same given the population. There were 3 or 4 million shoes thrown away every year. So we thought of giving added value to these shoes, so we restored them.
Zerbui also says he is happy to create jobs for those willing to participate regardless of the educational degree. Besides shoes, these artists dabble in restoring worn-out handbags, giving them a brand new look. Many of the artists and interns say they are proud to be part of this unique project. They say they feel like a family there. The startup is the first trainer restoration business to be launched in North America. A free climber known as the French Spider-Man scales a 48-story skyscraper in Paris to fulfill a goal he set for himself once he reached the age of 60.
A few years back, I promised myself that the day I turn 60, I have to climb the total tower. Because 60 years old marks retirement age in France, and so I thought this would make a very good nod.
Alain Roberts says this building is not as hard as others he has climbed. The French Spider-Man has ascended over 100 of the world's tallest buildings, including the Sydney Tower, the Sears Tower in Chicago, and the Burj Khalifa in Dubai, amongst many others. Roberts says he spent 2 decades climbing mountains before attempting urban climbs. Using his rock climbing experience, he sometimes carries a small bag of climbing chalk to help him grasp the small protrusions of building walls. Many of his climbs can last several hours. The 60-year-old daredevil says he wants to give people the message that age is a number and one can still be active and do sports. A Palestinian farmer has discovered an ancient Byzantine-era mosaic when preparing to plant an olive tree on his plot of land in the Gaza Strip. The farmer and his son have been carefully excavating the area for 3 months since spring. The pair dug out 3 patches, revealing glimpses of an ornate mosaic with intricate images of birds, flora and tile patterns. Its full size is roughly 23 square meters. The discovery has set off excitement amongst archaeologists. Experts say it is one of the most well-preserved specimens, with precision in graphics and richness in colors. According to archaeologists, the mosaic pavement dates back to the 5th and 7th centuries. Last month, another Palestinian farmer found a rare stone sculpture while working on his land, which dates back to around 2500 BC. They're back as India has revealed or released several of them into the grasslands of Kuna National Park after a 70-year absence in the country. The 8 radio-coloured African cheetahs made the long journey from Namibia. The big cats were released during a ceremony by Prime Minister Narendra Modi that coincided with his birthday. After their acclimation in the national park, they will be released into a 5-hectare spread of land in central India covered by grassland and forest. The felines will share the landscape with other animals and roam with leopards, sloths and striped hyenas. Their reintroduction is the culmination of a 13-year effort to restore the species, which vanished from the country decades ago. Another 12 cheetahs are expected to join the fledgling Indian population next month from South Africa. With more funding, the country hopes to gradually increase the population of cheetahs to around 40. World Cleanup Day unites millions of volunteers, governments and organizations to tackle the global waste problem and build a sustainable world. People in several countries joined the efforts again for a waste-free world. Volunteers were seen in mangrove forests in the suburb of Bangkok. They collected more than 1.5 tons of rubbish in just a few hours. Trash picking events were also held in the Philippines and Vietnam. In Hanoi, hundreds, mostly students armed with metal tongs and sacks, walked along major roads. They said their aim is to raise awareness about protecting the environment. In Manila, people cleaned up the city's beaches that are major tourist attractions. The annual cleanup day has been running for over a decade. From divers collecting marine debris to children picking up trash on beaches have just one goal: make our planet a cleaner place.
Chinese astronauts are celebrating their first ever mid-autumn festival in outer space while sharing their otherworldly experience with people on Earth. The crew had a close-up view of the moon from China's Tiangong space station and their third month in space. On the occasion, the ground crew organized a series of celebrations, including a family reunion for the astronauts. The ground crew also prepared elaborate food packages that had been prepared before the launch of the spacecraft. Typically, the traditional festival is kicked off by the first viewing of the full moon on the 15th day of the eighth month of the lunar calendar. Despite being able to see the moon rise and set 16 times a day, the astronauts say the moon is special on this occasion. Forestry authorities in southwestern China have opened a new canteen for wild Asian elephants in a bid to stop them wandering into villages. The canteen in Yunnan province provides the animals with attractive and nutritious meals while exploring man-animal harmonious coexistence. During these years, the province has explored multiple ways to reduce the encounters between humans and elephants and try to keep the animals away from farmers' crops. There are now approximately 1,400 hectares of dining halls for elephants, with many expanding from 100 to 240, such as corn, rice and sugarcane. They are planted on a large scale and within easy reach of the elephants. The location of such canteens is extremely selective, usually away from villages and major roads, and the chefs are locals. Most of the time, you have to visit an exhibition to see art. But what if art comes to see you instead? Well, a group of artists in Mali have created a floating art venue that will travel up and down the River Niger. It's called the Pirogue du Zem, which is a floating vessel. It's designed to host plays, exhibitions, dance shows, and so much more. The idea is to make art a movable feast that is no longer restricted to fixed venues in cities and accessible to all people. The project was created by a local artist and architect who had a vision to bring art to the masses. The vessel is 20 meters long and 6 meters wide, built with storage and enough space for exhibition. Government officials say the floating venue will showcase Mali's talents and creativity while attracting tourists.
Colombia is known for its tourist attractions and is full of breathtaking natural sights such as beaches, mountains, deserts, and forests. The South American nation is also one of the few places that give tourists the chance to have an encounter with whales. Every year, from July to October, domestic and foreign tourists flock to Colombia's Pacific coast to catch a glimpse of humpback whales. The large animals reach the coast after traveling thousands of kilometers from Antarctica and southern Chile. But for visitors, there are strict rules to help preserve the area and the whales. Tourists are now being welcomed for whale watching after a two-year hiatus due to the coronavirus pandemic. This is also the time when humpback whales start their reproductive process. Art such restoration requires intensive research and training and loads of skill. But imagine the anxiety while professionals embark on restoring rare paintings. Under careful supervision, French restorers are working to give back to 500-year-old paintings their former glory. They were rescued from a fire that engulfed the Notre-Dame Cathedral in Paris in 2019. These works date back from the 17th and early 18th century. The paintings, including 22 with large format, were temporarily stored in a warehouse and now being restored at an undisclosed location. The fire caused strictly no damage to the paintings, but they have accumulated thick layers of dirt and smoke on the surface after hanging in the cathedral for centuries. Some of the works also have paint loss due to overcleaning that restorers say need to be repaired elegantly.
Africa is taking back some of its greatest treasures stolen by the British back in the 19th century. The Horniman Museum in London has agreed to return the artifacts to Nigeria. These are 72 relics, which include 12 highly treasured brass plaques known as the Benin Bronzes. The bronzes are a group of several thousand metal plaques and sculptures that decorated the royal palace of the once mighty kingdom of Benin since the 16th century. These artifacts were looted from a region in modern-day Nigeria in a British military incursion. They later ended up in museums in Europe and the U.S. African countries have been fighting to recover works pillaged by explorers and colonizers as Western institutions grapple with the cultural legacy of colonialism.
Illegal hunting and hybridization with American crocodiles have for decades threatened their populations, with some species being on the verge of extinction. But there are some people who put their lives at risk to save the natural heritage. A Cuban researcher has released a baby crocodile that was confiscated from illegal hunters back into the wild. It was a happy moment for Etienne Perez, who went waist-deep in the dark water of Zapata Swamp to free Cuban crocs, the smallest known range of any living crocodile species. Cuban scientists were racing for quite some time to save the rarest crocodile. The government has protected virtually all of the vast swamp, widely considered to be the best preserved in the Caribbean. But the scientists say more efforts are needed to save the nature.
Releasing crocodiles seized from poachers is really impressive because we return the animal to a free life in the wild. In the case of the animals in the hatchery, we are trying to increase the historical range of the Cuban crocodile and, of course, increase the number of these individuals in the wild.
Cuban scientists estimate that around 4,000 crocodiles continue to live in the wild. But because the area they prefer within the wetland is relatively small, a climate-related disaster, increasingly common now globally, could wipe out the brunt of the population. They say illegal hunting for decades is also threatening crocodile populations.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Salaamu Alaikum and welcome to this episode of today's special. We're going to speak about Lady Fatima.
Daughter of the Nabi, Lady Fatima.
Today, Monday, is the 2nd of Jamadil Thani, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 5th of Day, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 26th of December, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. For today, we choose Chapter Al-Ahzab, verse 33 of the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani ar-rajim. وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَ تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى وَأَقِمْنَا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتِينَا الزَّكَاةَ وَأَطِعْنَا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ إنما يريد الله ليذهب عنكم الرجس أهل البيت ويطهركم تطهيرا.
And abide in your houses, and do not display yourselves as was the display of the former times of ignorance. And establish prayer, and give zakah, and obey Allah and His Messenger. Allah intends only to remove from you the impurity of sin, O people of the Prophet's household, and to purify you with extensive purification.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
According to the view of all scholars of Islam and commentators, the application of the term Ahlul Bayt here refers to the family of the Prophet, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, and this is the thing which is understood from the parent of the verse itself. There are a lot of translations recorded in the sources of the Sunnis and Shia, which indicates the addresses in the mentioned verse are only five persons. They are Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, Imam Ali, Hazrat Fatima, and the Imams Hassan and Hussein, peace be upon them all. The infallible ones, for the sake of divine aids and their own pure deeds, are in a state that they do not go towards sins while they have power and authority to commit sin.
Allahumma salli ala فاطمة وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها بعدد ما أحاط به علمه بعدد ما
Come here, we're going to learn more about Fatima. Fatima, peace be upon her, lived the calamities of her father and saw the persecution and harms that he suffered. She suffered and felt pain for her father too much. Lady Fatima alayha salam lived with her father and saw what he suffered of calamities and distresses which the villains and sinners of the Quraysh poured on him. She suffered and felt pain and fear for her father. Lady Fatima also witnessed with her father the conquest of Mecca. She saw her father's great victory and the submission and subservience of Quraysh to him.
Today we are going to talk about the importance of Fatimiyya. The only way to reach the truth of monotheism is to reach the truth and secrets of Al-Qur'an. Imam Baqir alayhi salam says that Qur'an is in the chest of those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted divine knowledge. Who are they? But who can claim to be the bearer of the facts of the Qur'an other than the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam? Can anyone tolerate the secrets of Qur'an? The Prophet ﷺ said that Salman and the kind of Salman should be found to take our burden. If our line with the Imam of the Ummah is broken, the guidance line of Allah Almighty will be closed. Then Al-Quran, which is a guide, becomes misleading. So we can see the outcome and consequences of that. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Anni tarakum fikum al-thaqalain, kitab Allah wa 'atrati." That is, I leave the book of Allah and our 'atra among you. He says that these two lights of truth are remaining among you. So if our connection with these two fields is cut off, our connection with the Holy Prophet is also cut off. He says, "Inni tarakum fikum al-thaqalain, kitab Allah wa 'atrati, ma an tamassaktum bihima lan tadhillu abada." So as long as far as you cling to them, you resort to them, you are not going to go to astray. So this is actually a connection between us and the Holy Prophet.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
About Lady Fatima's characteristics, we reach to her infallibility. Lady Fatima was infallible, and this is an indisputable fact. Allah had purged her from every sin and every defect and endowed her with all virtues to make her an example for all the women of the world. She was an ideal example in faith, worship, chastity, purity, charity, and kindness to the poor and deprived. Prophet Muhammad made all his nation, through his repeated sayings, know that Fatima was apart from him, and that whatever pleased her would please him, and whatever displeased her would displease him. That she was apart from the Prophet means that she was infallible, since the Prophet was infallible. The true traditions that were transmitted from Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, confirmed that Allah would be pleased with the pleasure of Fatima and would be displeased with her displeasure. These traditions mean that Fatima had reached a degree of faith and piety that would take her to the same rank of the infallible prophets who sincerely obey Allah and knew him as he, the Almighty, was.
استشفعنا وتوسلنا بك إلى الله وقدمناك بين يدي حاجاتنا
يا وجيها عند الله اشفعي لنا.
Fatima, the axis of infallibility. Since Lady Fatima is the axis of Ahlul Bayt, she is also the axis of infallibility as indicated in Ayah 33 of Surah 33 from the Holy Quran. She was the mother and the spiritual coach of all the Imams of Ahlul Bayt. The infallibility bravery, and guidance of all the Imams of Ahlul Bayt were inherited from their mother, Holy Lady Fatima. When Lady Khadija, peace be upon her, was pregnant with Fatima, she used to speak with her. One day, when the Prophet of Islam heard his wife talking to her baby, she said to her, "Gabriel has given me the glad tidings that she's going to be a baby girl, and her generation will be blessed and pure, and indeed the Almighty Allah will continue my generation from her offspring and will make them the imams and the vicegerents of Allah on earth after revelation has ceased to continue."
It is reported that a man once asked al-Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq salawatullahi alayhi, he asks the Imam a series of questions regarding the Lady of Light, the daughter of Rasulullah Fatimatu al-Zahra salawatullahi alayha. One of the questions that this man, this student of the Imam, asks is, "Ya ibn Rasulullah, why was your grandmother given the name Fatima? The same Lord who named Yahya, the same Lord who named his other representatives, and behind their name selection there is wisdom. Why did Allah Azza wa Jal assign this name to your grandmother? Why was she given the name Fatima?" Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, salawatullahi alayhi, you find that whenever he is asked about Lady Fatima, the Imam alayhi salam's eyes fill with tears. On one occasion, there was a man who comes to the Imam and says to him, "Ya ibn Rasulullah, Allah has blessed me with a daughter." The Imam alayhi salam, he asks him, "What have you named her?" He says, "I named her Fatima after your grandmother." The Imam alayhi salam, his eyes fill with tears, he says, "Idhan fala tadribha wa la tasih fi wajhiha." The Imam alayhi salam says, "Now that you have named her Fatima, I have a special request from you. Do not hit her and do not abuse her." Because the Imam is trying to tell us that Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad, was abused.
Dear brothers and sisters, it seems that our time is over. What you've just listened was the episode of today's special about Lady Fatima, peace be upon her. Thank you very much for joining us, and may Allah bless all of you. Have a nice time.
Allahumma salli ala Fatima wa abiha. Allahumma salli ala Fatima wa abiha wa ba'liha wa baniha bi'adadi ma ahata bihi ilmuk. Allahumma salli ala Fatima wa abiha wa ba'liha wa baniha بعدد ما أحاط به علمك.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.